Welcome to Ruby Riders Pegging Paradise podcast number 114 on November 2nd, 2015. Changing the world one ass at a time. We are going to dive right into the messages ASAP, so let's get going here. This is a message I received on FetLife. Hey Ruby, found your podcast a few weeks ago and wanted to say nice work. I've been into pegging and sexual exploration since I was about 16 and have found my wonderful fiancé who did not shy away from the idea of pegging me and ended up being a big fan too. Thank you for speaking out and helping men open up about the subject of pegging. I wish I would have had something like your podcast to help me understand what I was going through with all of the shame and embarrassment when I first started opening up about anal play. Nice work, and keep it up. I do keep it up, especially with the right harness and the right dildo on. I keep it up for long periods of time. I could not resist that. I really appreciate you writing and letting me know this. These are the kinds of letters that keep me doing this. Because, you know, pegging is my passion, and that's awesome, but shame is like the saboteur of enjoying it, especially for the men. I don't think that women often feel too much shame about pegging. They have more fears and misconceptions. But the men absolutely go through the shame sometimes. And I mean, you can hear it in my voice. I get all serious when I talk about shame. And so, yeah, shame is a big one. And I am so glad that you found your way through all of that and are enjoying a happy pegging life. And thank you for writing me. I appreciate it. Okay, this next one is from the guy in podcast number 113 who mentioned that he feels like he might propose to his girlfriend when she pegs him. I put a comment after his. He had commented on my frequently asked questions on pegging101.com. And I put a comment after his in response to it and told him that I was going to read this on podcast number 113. And he responded, "Haha, well, that's unexpected. I never guessed that you would take the question seriously. But this is interesting, as I have my own theory, and I can compare that to yours. To keep you unbiased, I'll post mine in the reply section of your podcast. I do feel the need to elaborate a bit without going too much in detail, though. I've been married before, and after my divorce I felt so betrayed that I promised myself to not ever get married again. Loyalty, love, and lust comes out of the hearth, not the legal papers. That doesn't mean we don't have the legal stuff together now, but more in technical than in marriage context. Also, I have nothing to gain from a marriage. And yet, I have a feeling that, as my ass will slowly give way to that smooth pole of hers, and she will start thrusting her hips, I am going to break my promise." Oh, I love that. Thank you very much for that. I had to read it on the podcast as a follow-up. I was certain my listeners would enjoy hearing back from the guy who thinks he might propose with the pegging thing. I'm wondering if you have heard the podcast yet. I did not see a reply to it come through, and every once in a while I lose things, so please let me know if you sent it and I lost it. But I had to read this because I love the response, clearly. I especially loved the last part. That last sentence is pretty damn hot and awesome. Thank you for that comment, sir. Here's another message from FetLife. "Your informative websites and blogs are amazing. Was lucky enough to experience strap-on pegging and fell in love with it. I think it brings a great deal of bonding and adventure into relationships. I have much more to say about it, but I'm sure you're well-versed on that topic. You're doing God's work, let me tell you. I think people are misinformed about it and don't understand what great pleasure can come out of it, as well as being open to it." Ooh, this was a really nice one to get just because of the whole God's work thing. "I love it when you guys surprise me, and this one definitely surprised me. I have never heard my passion for pegging and all of this stuff that I do about pegging called God's work. I suppose it could be, though, especially in the context of trying to get the shame out of it, trying to normalize it, trying to encourage and inform so that shame is not a part of it. So yeah, I think that could be considered God's work. Absolutely. I love it. And I have invited this young man who is 26 to write and tell me his ideas about pegging and how people don't understand it, because I'd be happy to check that out and maybe read it on the podcast. So please do. And thank you very much for the message that you sent me. Okay, this next one is ancient. And when I say ancient, I do mean ancient. This is from January of 2014. Woohoo! But everything has a time, and this one's time has come, so let me read it to you. Hi, Ruby. I was thinking maybe, just maybe, you can have a podcast only with women who love to peg guys, since about 90% of your writers are men. Have women call or write to you and share their stories of what gets them all hot and wet when it comes time to fucking a guy, or what part of pegging just drives them wild. It could be the role reversal, the intimacy, or maybe just simply a fantasy they have. I know you have shared with us listeners how you love the visual of having the dildo go in and out of the guy's bubble butt so fucking hot, leaving your pussy dripping wet like a waterfall. I don't think I ever said like a waterfall. I think I said dripping, absolutely. And I am. I do. I do get dripping, definitely. I am not right now in this moment as I record the podcast. But this is a fabulous idea. And I am going to extend an invitation right here and now to all the women listening. And guys, if you are in a happy pegging relationship, please extend this to your lady people if they don't listen to it as well. And I'm going to put the invitation all over the place. It doesn't make any difference how long or short you would like it to be. If you just want to send me a couple sentences about what thrills you about pegging, the next episode, which is going to be episode 115, is going to be all about what women love about pegging. You can write in, you can call in. If you write, it's ruby@peggingparadise.com. If you call in, it's 805-500-6544. And I can play those messages on the podcast. That would be awesome. But yes, I think that's a fabulous idea because, you know, there are so many men out there who love it and can't find a woman to do it and think that the numbers are really, really, really skewed, which I kind of think they are too. There's certainly no study to show how many women versus men enjoy it, but we've talked about the numbers before. And suffice to say, there are definitely more men than women. And I think they get discouraged sometimes. So it would be an awesome thing for a whole bunch of women to talk about exactly what they love about it. So please, ladies, write in. Tell me what you like. Tell me what you love. Tell me what you fantasize about, how it works for you, the best parts of it. What gets you going? What gets you dripping like a waterfall? I think that's more like pouring, but dripping, I don't know, the word dripping, that just makes me think about it. Okay, back to work here. Please write in, ladies. I'd love to do all your stories. And next week, by next week, if you can. I know that some of these podcasts have been not far and few between. And I would love to do this 115 next week and get back on more of a regular schedule. So if you can send your stories in ASAP, that would be awesome. And I'm going to extend this invitation on Facebook and Twitter and FetLife and Reddit. Okay, people, here's the next one. Hope this finds you well. I love your podcast and know how you love hearing your listeners' stories, so I wanted to share mine with you. Previously, I had written you and shared my pegging experiences with my wife at the time. Fast forward a bit and the marriage ended, but I took some of your advice with new romantic partners and brought up my love of pegging early in the relationship. My girlfriend wasn't freaked when I first brought it up, but wasn't openly enthusiastic either. Honestly, she did not know what pegging was. I sent her to some websites, yours included, so she could become educated at her own pace. She read them right away, but still wasn't fully getting it. I would broach the topic every few months and was thinking it was something that would never happen. Things changed when one day, while we were fooling around, I stuck my finger in her ass, and while this was not the first time it had been done to her, it was the first time she found it to be pleasurable. This led to great things. Once she realized that this felt good to her, it started to really occur to her that it must feel good to me. A couple of months later, she sent me a text in the middle of the night stating that she had done some, quote, research, end quote, while trying to fall asleep. At first, I didn't quite understand. Then she revealed that she had Googled pegging and watched some videos and become aroused. The topic of pegging began to come up more between us, and I would periodically tease her and ask her if she had been doing any research lately. We were approaching my birthday, and she had decided she would finally give it a try then. For about a month prior, we would discuss it openly in and outside of the bedroom, watching videos and checking out equipment. This level of openness really opened up during this time, and it was really turning her on and I. We bought a spare parts Jacques harness from our friends at Entice Me. I must say she raves about how comfortable it is and finds it quite sexy. Well, she was getting so excited that she didn't wait until my birthday for the first time. Now she is totally hooked. She loves pegging my ass, and I couldn't be happier. It is actually her who asks me about doing it. No need for me to ask. Through all of this, we have both become very open about our sexual fantasies and likes. It's amazing to feel this open and comfortable. Even with my ex, I was never this open, but similarly, she was never as into the pegging thing as my current girlfriend. We have named the toy Pinky, since it is hot pink. She now likes to tease me by wearing pink clothes or pink nail polish. She can relate to the workout women get while pegging their man. The whole experience is so intense that for the very first time I came hands-free, a surprise to both of us. I just wanted to thank you for all you do to bring the positives of pegging to the world in a fun, informative, non-clinical manner. Nice story. Very nice story. You know, there's a big difference between a woman who is enthusiastic about pegging and one who isn't and just kind of does it because she knows you like it. And I think there's many different shades of gray in there. I think that there are women who maybe aren't as enthusiastic about the act itself, the pegging, but they're very enthusiastic about the pleasure that they're giving you. And those kind of mold together and meld together. And it ends up seeming like she is very enthusiastic about it, even if it's not her favorite thing. But yes, I have had many letters from men who have written about their women who are not enthusiastic about it or uncomfortable about it or feel awkward or what have you. And it just makes it so that the whole experience is something they'd rather not do because it's all shaded over with those types of things. So I am so happy for you that you found your current girlfriend. I am also so happy for you that you disclosed your love of pegging early on when approaching romantic prospective partners. Good on you, and congratulations on having the courage to do that, because it's not really an easy thing to do. It's easier to hide it, but it's so the wrong way to go. And I've talked about that on the podcast before. It's easier to disclose it initially when you really don't have a whole lot to lose, because you don't know this person yet. You're not romantically involved with them. You're not emotionally connected to them. So to tell them early, yeah, you might get rejected and it might not feel good, but goodness, it's a lot better than finding someone who ends up never loving it and you're already emotionally involved and blah, blah, blah. So yay, you did it exactly the right way. So good for you. I assume you guys are continuing to have loads of fun with Pinky. The playfulness that I hear with couples about the different things that they do about, oh, when she puts on that red bra, that means she wants pegging. Or, you know, and this is a new one for me, though, the wearing pink because the toy is pink. I love that. So thank you for writing in and sharing your story. It was delightful to hear, and I'm sure all my listeners would agree. Awesome. Okay, so now I'm going to talk to you guys about harnesses, specifically rodeo harnesses. And the reason I'm talking to you about them is some time ago, the people at Rodeo Harnesses were kind enough, Jennifer to be specific, who I believe owns the place, was kind enough to send me two harnesses to check out. And I've had these for a long time and I've used them a lot, a lot less than I'd like to have used them, but you know, I've used them. These are the panty style harnesses. They are cotton and they are really, really comfortable, and they are compatible with both single flare-based dildos as well as the doubles. The two that I asked for and was gifted with to get my review and my perspective on, there is a black ruched back, and ruching is the gathering, so it's ruched up the back like the butt crack. It's a black one, and it has lace panels on the side. And the other one, and it's a little bit higher cut, and the other one is a little bit lower cut, more like a bikini style, and it's purple with the black lace panels. So they're both quite beautiful. And here's my confession, okay? I did not read the instructions where it says to wash these by hand. I didn't. And so I thought I was being all smarty, and I threw them in a lingerie bag. And for you men who don't know what that is, that's when you have delicate things that you're going to be washing. And you put it in a separate bag and you zip it closed. And that way it doesn't rub up against any of your other clothing while you wash it. And typically women do this with bras and panties and things that can be more delicate. So that's what I was doing with these harnesses, right? And I would wash it every single time I used it. And it turns out that the beautiful lace panels on the side are not meant to be machine washed at all, and that they're meant only to be hand washed. So when Jennifer wrote me back, she said, you know, wow, these pictures that you sent me look like this has been machine washed. And sure enough, it has, or it had, I did, whatever way you want to say it. And I looked on her website, and indeed it does say to hand wash. Since I love pegging so much, and since I do it every chance I get, and I rarely have a man in my bed without fucking him, I definitely should probably have chosen one of her other sweet-looking harnesses that are kind of more like underwear. And those you really can throw in the washer and sort of treat them like underwear, because they kind of like are. And they're like beautiful briefs that you just have the ring in the front and they can hold a toy. So my bad on destroying the lace a little bit. What happened was little teeny tiny threads of elastic in the elastic lace came out where the seams are. And it's not like a horrible thing. They're still absolutely quite functional, but it's a little bit unsightly, just a little bit. And so I gave that feedback to Jennifer, and she's like, well, yeah, you machine wash these things. What do you want? So I wanted to warn my listeners at the same time that I am highly recommending these harnesses. These are a really good option price point wise in comparison to the spare parts harnesses. They're incredibly comfortable, and they come in a whole wide variety of different styles and flavors, if you will, because I think this company initially started out with lesbian women, and a lot of the harnesses initially were more butch looking, sort of like, you know, I hate to put labels on things, but they were kind of like men's briefs. And only recently did they come out with some that are lacy and feminine and pretty. So that's the kind that I wanted. So they are very well made and really comfortable, washable, and they're a great harness. So I'm going to put links to those in the Linkorama, and I want you guys to consider that when you're looking at harnesses, because washable, no problem. And the spare parts are washable too, and they're great, but it's a completely different look because these are panty harnesses. And in my fantasies, okay, and these really, this got me going. When Rodeo first came out with their very first advertisement, I did a blog post and I put a picture up, because it's like, oh my gosh, you can wear this just like underwear, right? Well, okay, you can wear a spare parts harness just like underwear too, but it's different. It's got the straps and the stuff, and you could theoretically have it under your clothes, but this rodeo harnesses are just like a pair of underwear. So, okay, you know where I'm going with this, because I've talked about it before. You got the dildo in your purse, right? Dildo in the purse, dildo in the glove box, dildo wherever you want to put it, as long as you keep it clean. And you can spring it out and do some spontaneous pegging in the hotel room, you know, in the middle of the party, you know. not like in the middle of the room at the party, unless you're really an extrovert and you're into exhibitionistic pegging, which some people are, and kudos to you, that is not me. But I love that sort of taboo, hidden, secret thing, you know, in the bathroom at the bar or something like that. So this harness absolutely provides you a way to do that because literally it's as comfortable as underwear is. And the harnesses are awesome. Please, when you order, pay very close attention to the sizing because the sizing directions are difficult for each harness and you need to pay attention and follow the directions really well. If you're at all confused, you can send an email to Tiffany and she will help you with that. So the links on the Linkorama are going to be from enticeme.com. And please do remember to use that coupon code Ruby for 20% off. Because it'd be a shame if you skip that part after doing such a sweet thing as to order from the place that helps me support my work. Yeah, so Rodeo gets about an 8.5 to 9 out of 10 for an amazing harness. It really does. And you know, I haven't really put numbers to things for, but spare parts really only get to 9. I think there are ways that spare parts could be better. They're very functional and they can be called sexy, but I think they could look a lot sexier. And spare parts has made some very, very sexy panty harnesses that are the couture line. They're beautiful. The Bella and the Sasha, I've talked about those a lot. But for those people who don't want to spend that kind of money with the spare parts stuff, the Rodeo harnesses rock. So get yours today and bend that guy over in the bathroom or the kitchen counter when he comes home from work or wherever. All right, have fun with that. Okay, here's your next message. Hey, Ruby, I have some questions for you. From reading a lot of your posts and stories, I see you as a kinky person and someone who is into BDSM. I've been reading a blog, and then he puts the link. And the name of the blog is thejourneyofwill.blogspot.com. And he goes on to say, I was really surprised how well written and informative it was about the BDSM culture. There was a very striking thing the man who wrote the articles on that blog said. Based on the conversations I've had with innumerable kinky people over the past 7 years, I'm prepared to assert that appetites for dominance, submission, or sadomasochism are innate, not acquired. Many of my sources report becoming aware of deviant desires in childhood before attaining any education in sex. So I guess my question to you is, am I a kinky person? I know that is a really strange question, and I should be the one to answer that, but I feel I'm not a kinky person. I've never had fantasies of BDSM stuff when growing up, quite frankly. I don't have a childhood. A lot of my life I don't remember. I just remember a lot of hatred and sadness. I'm on my way to recovering and I'm feeling better each day. Anyways, I'm not interested in the DS lifestyle. I cannot see myself hurting or humiliating someone else, nor having them do the same to me. Nor could I see myself ever enjoying it. I don't find someone controlling when I can or can't orgasm as sexy. Chastity. The training sounds exhausting and kills my motivation to want to have sex. I've tried pain on myself, for instance, nipple clamps, but all I get from that is pain. I think it's better left in my head, because at least in my head they don't hurt. I've watched and read a lot of porn from soft to hardcore to BDSM. A lot of the times I get aroused at BDSM mainly because it's novel or shocking, but more often than not I lose interest fast and don't care to read or watch it again. That being said, I do find light spanking and bondage hot. A lot of what I read on that blog is that in order for a BDSM relationship to work, both parties must want it. Simply doing it because your partner wants it isn't enough. You must also want/love it too. A lot of people who commented on that blog who are into BDSM have expressed frustrations for not having their needs fulfilled, and vanilla sex does not cut it. They would rather spend the time to find the right kinky person than to have to deal with a vanilla person. I guess you're wondering, why am I on this site and asking the questions I'm asking? I'm interested in pegging. I'm also a virgin, male, 23. I've had awesome fantasies about it. Pegging is actually the only fantasy I'm interested in. and watching amateur pegging porn is arousing, though I do lose interest in it fast, mainly because I'm not getting the angles and shots I want, but what did I expect? It's an amateur video. Most of the pegging porn that is made from studios is boring and crappy, but there are a few out there that are good. Anyways, I hope I really enjoy it when it happens to me, and I hope the woman who would do it also enjoys it as much as I imagine I would. Moreover, I don't see pegging as BDSM slash kink. I feel that it should be included in vanilla sex, and it's put under fetish, kink, and fantasy category because it is new and taboo. I think what attracts me to pegging so much is the intimacy, trust, and understanding of your partner. To see how it feels to be in a woman's position, to feel that vulnerability, and really just to let go, the tenderness from your partner. On top of having the chance of getting an amazing orgasm, sounds wonderful. I guess reading what I've just written to you, I can't say I am a kinky person, but I feel like I should ask anyway. A. What's your opinion? Am I a kinky person? B. Am I a closeted kinkster and don't know about it, and one day I'll become a kinkster? It sounds unlikely. C. Are there normal women out there who are not into BDSM, who are interested in pegging? Or can they be convinced into pegging and find out that they love it, and they aren't into BDSM? Laugh out loud. That's a good way to end that. Okay, let me deal with your questions here. First of all, what I want to say is labels are just the beginning. What I mean by that is labels can be helpful in trying to begin describing ourselves or finding out about another person. But labels are very one-dimensional and people are not. So you should always take labels with a grain of salt because really there's so much more to every single person than just one word or two can portray. And with this whole kinky thing, are you kinky? Well, maybe a little bit. Because you like a little bit of spanking and light bondage, or that at least is something that turns you on. So likely it's something that will be a little bit fun when you try it out. I think that that's the lightest of light when you talk about kinky. I mean, I have struggled with the question of is pegging kinky or not. A lot of people would say it's way kinky. Is it BDSM? No, it doesn't have to be at all. And as you have seen, much of the pegging porn out there, the professional stuff, is all wrapped up in BDSM. In fact, that's one of the things that I teach in my pegging classes, is that pegging can be experienced any way you want to experience it. It doesn't have to be connected to anything, be that BDSM, be it humiliation, be it dominance and submission. There's so many different things that you could combine with it. Feminism, dressing up, switching roles completely, dressing up as the other gender, la la la. So you can have pegging be anything you want it to be. And the thing about your letter that fascinates me is that there's so much cart before the horse here, because you're male and you're a virgin. I find it very interesting that you are so interested in pegging and you're still a virgin and have not experienced sex. But be that as it may, really, we form our beginning sexual desires and things, I think, when we're very young. I'm not sure if I agree with the statement that the man made. I think that there are things that you can discover later in life that I wouldn't put a bet on, that it was something that was under the surface the whole time and something that was kind of subconsciously there, but you didn't really bring it out and act upon it. I think that sometimes you become exposed to something and it sort of clicks something off, and then all of a sudden you find that this is something you really, really want to explore. So what is my opinion? That's your first question. Are you a kinky person? Maybe a little bit, but you know, I wouldn't get so hung up on the label. If you are envisioning running around in life trying to find a female partner and deciding whether or not to tell her that you are kinky, I think it would be better just to tell her the things that you have seen that turn you on, as opposed to say kinky, because your definition of kinky might be different from her definition of kinky, might be different from my definition of kinky. Really? Are you into BDSM? It doesn't sound like it, other than that little bit of spanking and bondage that turns you on, but it may turn out to be that in real life, you don't like doing that and you don't like it done to you. So who knows about that part of stuff, but I don't think that you're really into BDSM, and you absolutely can do pegging without BDSM. And this ties into some of your other questions. Let's see, the second question is, am I a closeted kinkster and don't know about it? I don't think so, but you know, you've got a lot of life to live, and you may find that you explore that someday. Trying to define yourself really rigidly at this young age is kind of futile. And I would suggest that you just look at the things that turn you on and explore those and talk about those with your future partners, because that's how sexual exploration works. Don't try and group things into a label and say you're either this or you're that, because really in the end, you're who you are, and it really doesn't matter what labels people want to put on you. So I would suggest that you try not to put labels on yourself. And your last question, which I think I've kind of already answered, are there normal women out there who are not into BDSM who are interested in pegging? I caution you on the word normal. My normal is different from your normal, which could be different from the normal of the woman that you may someday be involved with. So I'm going to kick that word right out of there and read it again. Are there women out there who are not into BDSM who are interested in pegging? Absolutely there are. Tons of them. I don't know percentages, you know, I wish I could just throw out some numbers and say, yes, approximately 40% of women who are into pegging have no desire for getting into any kind of BDSM at all. But I don't know that. If I had to take a wild guess, it would be so skewed because I am in the BDSM world, see? And really all I have to go off of is the letters that people write me. So I'm thinking maybe at least 40%, maybe 50% of couples out there just enjoy the pegging part and really don't go much beyond that. Or if they do, they go into other territories that really don't have much to do with BDSM. Maybe they do a little bit of cross-dressing. Maybe they do a little bit of gender role reversal type of stuff. Like she dresses up like the guy, he dresses up like the woman, that kind of thing. Anyway, that's my best guess. Can women be convinced into pegging and find out they love it who aren't into BDSM? Absolutely. Absolutely. There's a bunch of letters I've gotten about that. The two are not inextricably tied together, the pegging and the BDSM. So if you feel like inside of yourself you're not really kinky in the BDSM sense, but you're definitely into pegging, please do not worry. There's room for you in the world of women who are open-minded sexually. I would guess that there are quite a few women out there who are open-minded enough, especially at your age, especially women who are your age, who are open-minded enough to explore pegging, no problem, but would hesitate a little bit more on the BDSM side of things. And perhaps they like one and not the other. So there you go. Yeah, labels, really only useful so far. And to expound upon that just a little bit more, when someone gives you a label about themselves, or when you're thinking about trying on a label for yourself, like jumping right into whole what we've been talking about the BDSM, it was a big transition for me to actually take the word sadist and apply it to myself. Do I get pleasure from causing someone levels of pain? Yes, I do. But the word sadist was like, whoa, that like has so many awful negative connotations that that was the last thing I wanted to describe myself as. But there's many, many different levels of being a sadist. And there are many different ways to do BDSM. Some people picture the like the spanking and the flogging and things like that as just sitting there and hitting someone, and there's no rhyme or reason, there's no technique, and there is a lot of technique, and it can be really quite this beautiful dance. And I have since absolutely embraced the word sadist. It still makes me twinge just a little bit. I can say it in the kinky company and the people who are into BDSM, but just to walk right out there and say, oh yeah, I'm definitely sadistic. Yeah, it takes a little bit more because there are those negative connotations. But you know, when it comes down to it, the label thing, okay? I struggled with that label, but that's a beginning. See, I just explained all that other stuff about being a sadist, about what I enjoy, and about how it's not just this thing over here, that it's these other things. So what I would suggest to everyone when it comes to labels, no matter what those labels are, whether it describes your sexual orientation, your desires, your kinks, your fetishes, your whatever, that's a starting point. Labels are a starting point. And then it's up to us to have a conversation and start asking questions. Kind of like this. You say to a prospective romantic partner, well, one of the things I'm really into is pegging. I really love the idea of that, and I can't wait to try it. And she then says, really, pegging? Because the stuff I've seen about that is very connected to like the BDSM stuff. Do you have any interest in that as well? And then you would answer, no, I really don't. In fact, I just like the whole pegging thing, but none of the BDSM stuff. I know the movies are like that, the porn movies, but I'm not really interested in that. See, there's the conversation. That's my example for you. So take that and run with it. And please do let us know the very first time you get pegged, because I would love to play the music for you, sir. Thanks for writing in. Okay, here's an awesome one. Just by the way it starts, you're gonna be able to tell this is an awesome one. This is a true story, and it happened to me last Saturday night. How's that for a first sentence? No names have been changed to protect the innocent, because there are no innocent asses here. I have been craving anal penetration from my special lady for some time. Life has been in the way, and we just have not had time for any play at all. I've been hinting that it was time to get properly pegged for a couple of weeks. After going out to lunch on Saturday, I got out the Hitachi and made sure her needs were met. After totally satisfying her, I left my lady in the bed to nap while I cut the lawn. When the lawn was mowed, I took a shower and laid down for a short nap. An hour later, she woke me up, suggesting that it was time to take care of my needs. She had to pee, and I wanted to set a mood, so I made it difficult for her. Finally, she climbed in the shower and relieved herself all over me. This set the mood for a kinky night. After showering us both off, I went to the toy box and grabbed the dildo we purchased just for pegging. It is a monster at a full 7 inches long and just over 1¾ inches diameter at the tip, quite a bit larger than my dick. This is a high-quality toy which cost us almost $50 at a local sex shop. It is not made of harmful materials and is quite rigid. It is a realistic-shaped penis, and when playing, I prefer it to be inserted just like a real penis would. She put on her harness. I do not know what brand it is, but it has dual straps in the back and has a purple insert. That is her favorite color. She ordered me to place the penis in the harness. As I inserted it and got it properly situated, I then got on my knees and paid homage to her dick with my mouth. After a few minutes of oral worship, I fully lubed the dick with a good water-based lube. When it was fully saturated, I put a FC2 female condom over it. I use these because they usually stay inside me after she is done, allowing me to remove it in privacy in case there is any objectionable materials on it. I then liberally lube the outside of the condom and my anus. I prefer her to take me from behind while bent over. It is a very submissive position for me, and I feel like I am truly being taken. I was also in the mood to be violently raped by her. She rubbed the tip near my anus and asked if it was close. I responded by pushing back as hard as I could, causing the dildo to go in all the way in one stroke. I screamed in pain and pleasure. This is the brutal ass-fucking I needed. She pumped me for a while, alternating with deep strokes and holding the dick all the way in my ass. It just touched the inner sphincter and caused me exquisite pain. The experience was so intense that I had tears in my eyes. After I was properly fucked and the pain level increased to the level I needed, I reached down and grabbed my penis. I started stroking and asked for permission to come. My request was answered with a very deep stroking, and she said, yes, come for me. 2 strokes later, I shot a huge load of cum all over the bed and the floor. She pulled out as I collapsed in a pool. It took me a few minutes to recover and help her clean off the toy. There was a little blood on the condom, but I was not at all worried. I wanted a violent pegging and got my wish. The small tear healed quickly and did not even hurt. The next morning, my hole was still a bit sore from the abuse it took, but that was a wonderful reminder of how much she loves and is willing to give me what I need. I realize that for some people, pegging can be a sensual experience, and it can be for me as well. This time, however, I needed a violent, brutal session. I am totally not in control of what is happening to my ass and able to fully let go of all of the tension and pent-up frustration. I thought I would share this experience while it is still fresh on my mind. I cannot wait until the next time we are able to play. I wonder if a bigger dildo is available. Feel free to read this on your podcast if it interests you. So this is purely happenstance that I ended up reading this one after the letter that I just read about separating kink and pain from pegging. So this is fascinating because I, for a long time, here at Pegging Paradise and all of the different places I cruise around on the internet on, I have always asserted that there should never be pain, that if you're having pain, that you're doing it the wrong way, that you should do foreplay, you should build up to it gradually, and all of that. And I actually had someone challenge me on that on the Reddit pegging forums and say, okay, look, if you're an experienced player, okay, there's a difference between good pain and bad pain, even with pegging. Because I would always say, look, there's so many other places in the body that you can cause pain. You can beat someone's back. You can beat someone's ass with a variety of different implements. You shouldn't have pain in your ass. But this guy said, look, it's just a matter of a little bit of pain because it's going in too fast and she's not warming me up. It's not a matter of my ass has never stretched that far. And I know the difference between good pain and bad pain. And I actually enjoy good pain. And it sounds like you, sir, who wrote this letter in, enjoy it as well. It's not for the inexperienced. It's not something that I would ever recommend that someone try who hasn't had a lot of pegging experience and knows their boundaries. But I do absolutely get that some people enjoy a level of pain. And sometimes I've heard it described as they like the discomfort and slight pain of being forced to take it too soon and too quickly, and perhaps a little bit too big. That's how I've heard it described. Now, I know the idea of that is a big turn-on for me, but the reality of it is that I never, ever want to hurt someone's ass. So I'm glad that it was a tiny bit of blood. I'm glad that it healed quickly. And I do appreciate you sharing your story because I like to get stories from all the different perspectives, and this is one we don't hear from very often. So I am glad that it was so good for you because clearly, from your story, it was. I'm happy for you, sir. Thanks for writing in and sharing that with us. Oh, but before we leave this man's story, you will notice that he mentioned he uses an FC2, a female condom, when his partner pegs him. Now, the female condom, for those of you that don't know what it is a tubular type of extra-large-looking-ish condom, and it has two rings, an outer ring which is larger that stays outside of the body, and an inner ring that goes inside. So, typically used for female use, the inner ring goes inside and helps it stay put. The advantages to these condoms are that it feels more natural because the penetrating partner does not have to wear anything. The advantages that this man mentioned are that it contains any mess that might happen, which he seemed to really like the idea of, and I have to say is not bad. So I did some research regarding whether the FC2 is approved for anal use, and although it's recommended for anal use a lot, it's not approved by the FDA, and they can't actually recommend it, and there's been no studies done to show anything about anal use. On the other hand, they're being recommended for anal use all over the place. Just a quick search on the internet shows that gay websites, even the New York City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene, can't specifically say that they're good for anal because they're not approved by the FDA. However, they recommend them. They just don't do it in writing. So they say they're excellent for anal sex, but they won't put it in writing because of the whole legal thing. So yeah, an excellent alternative for those of you who are concerned about mess and or disease. You know, it's a great concept for those of you who are really kind of freaked out about the mess or maybe whose partners are, because it would completely eliminate that and contain it. You do need to take the inside ring out before you use it for anal, though. That's the important thing. So I'm going to put a picture of it and a link on how to do that. But thanks for bringing that up. And we do sell those on enticeme.com at the price of $2 a pop. Woohoo! I'll put a link for that, too. Thanks for writing in, sir. Alrighty, next message. Is the enjoyment of pegging by the cross-dressing community frowned upon by those not into that particular fetish? I'm asking because I am a lifelong cross-dresser, but I'm quite heterosexual, although I do very much want to find someone that is accepting of my fetish and willing to participate while involving pegging. I hope my questions are not out of line. Thank you. Oh, goodness, no, they're not out of line. We've talked about all of those subjects. There are a lot of overlaps between kinky desires and fetishes. Technically, the definition of the word fetish is something that you can't get off without. So, for example, if you couldn't get off without cross-dressing, then it's a fetish. Otherwise, it's a kink or a desire. So, putting that aside and knowing that people use those words interchangeably quite a bit, cross-dressing overlaps quite a bit with pegging. And you only have to go as far as the interview I did with the Marine who loves wearing the panties and loves being pegged. There's something about that, tapping into the feminine part of themselves and enjoying the silky feel of the fabrics, embracing the feminine side, wanting to feel pretty, wanting to feel feminine and let go and things like that. Now, I cannot speak for the cross-dressing community, but I think that you should enjoy what you want to enjoy. And there are quite a few men out there who are into pegging who are also into cross-dressing. Some of them want to do it up the whole way, and some of them just want to wear panties. And it's all good. So, is there a woman out there who would enjoy both of those things with you? Absolutely. And whether or not the cross-dressing community at large frowns upon pegging, I wouldn't have a clue. I don't think they do, but I don't really care. And I don't think you should either, unless you participate in social functions with other cross-dressers and have parties with them. Then you might care a little bit what they think, but please feel free to experience your kinks in any combination or lack thereof that you desire, because it's your body, it's your kinks, it's your fun, so have fun with it, and don't worry about whether it's frowned upon. I think it's a lovely combination, and there are men who have told me that actually dressing up like a woman finally allowed them to let go enough to experience a hands-free orgasm. I've heard that as well. So yes, have a great time with it, and thanks for writing in. Okay, this one's short and sweet and very different. I've never been asked this before. Hi, Ruby. My wife and I have discovered pegging and absolutely love it. However, oftentimes when she is pegging me, I will urinate a lot. It feels great and I do let it go, but is this normal? Thanks. Okay, the answer to this is that it is like 99% probable that this is not urine. It's pre-cum, it's pre-ejaculate. Because there are muscles that constrict during sexual arousal that act as gatekeepers so that you can't come and urinate at the same time. When the sexual system is engaged, then those muscles contract and it becomes impossible to urinate. It may seem like an amazing amount of pre-cum. I checked some kind of journal, something or other, medical, physiologically specific advice, and it said it can, pre-cum can vary from just a few drops to 5 milliliters, and 5 milliliters is a decent amount. So I'm not sure what your volume is, but that is the kind of collective reasoning and thought behind it, that it's definitely not urine, it's more likely that it's pre-cum. In fact, in one of the things I did with researching, there is a place called Go Ask Alice, and you can ask her any kind of sexual question you want. And I'm going to put the link in the Linkorama, and I'm going to read you what she says. The question submitted to her was, my partner seems to pass urine while ejaculating. Is this normal, and what would be the cause of it? And she answers, the male body has a system that keeps it from being able to ejaculate and urinate at the same time. During sexual arousal, muscles at the base of the bladder contract in order to close off the passageway from the bladder into the urethra, the tube through which urine and semen leave the body. This makes it impossible for urine to be released during ejaculation. It is not likely that the fluid is urine, but it might be either pre-cum or ejaculate. And then she goes on to talk about exactly what pre-ejaculate is and things like that, and pre-cum. Well, same thing, pre-cum, pre-ejaculate. She goes on to talk about that more in depth in terms of what those things are. Since you're getting direct pressure and stimulation on your prostate, that can encourage small amounts of prostatic fluid, which is the pre-cum, to come out of the penis while she's doing that. In fact, men that I have pegged before sometimes have just a sort of a continuous clear stream. But it's the kind of stream that kind of, it's drippy, it's, what do I want to say? It's like saliva. So if you put saliva between your fingers and separate them and makes the string, that's what it looks like, which is a very different consistency than regular urine. So that's the best answer I can find for you. I did put this up on Reddit Pegging, and I just so far got one response to it. You'll be pleased to know that it's probably fluid from your prostate and not pee. Prostate fluid tastes somewhat different to pee, kind of gritty on the teeth. Assuming you emptied your bladder beforehand, how could you be peeing so much? So that was the response I got. I'm going to put a link to where I asked this question on the Reddit boards so that you can see what other people say because, you know, when in doubt, consult the collective. And this is a big group of people who are all into pegging, and so we'll see if any other guys have had this reaction to it and what they say about it. And the comment, it was funny because it's sort of like, okay, that's assuming that you have tasted both pre-cum and urine, which is kind of an interesting assumption. So I'm not sure if your girlfriend, wife, or a significant other have been tasting the difference, but apparently there is a difference in the taste. Who knew? So at recording time, this is all I have, but go ahead and keep an eye on that thread, and perhaps more information will come through later. And if some really important stuff comes through, I'll put it on a future podcast. Okay, here's another one. To make a very long story short, my boyfriend has regularly expressed an interest in having me use a strap-on on him. Now, I would really like to do this for him, but no matter how hard I try, I cannot seem to get over the evil Dom stereotype and end up having a minor panic attack when he brings it up. And it's not like I have a fear of strap-ons themselves, because I've used them and have had them used on me by other women. Please help me get out of my head. Goodness. This is unusual because you have used them before and have them used on you. So I would suggest taking things step by step. One night, get together with your boyfriend and just do anal play with your fingers. And if you like to receive anal, he can do it to you as well. If you're not into that and you just want to do it with him, that's awesome, and I'm going to put a link in the Linkorama to Beginning Anal Play for Couples, and that particular article, because this is pegging-related, is written to the woman on how to do the anal exploration, the beginning foreplay, to the man. So that's going to be there for you. And then, the next time you play, you might want to introduce toys. If you have any toys already that you use or he used, just make sure that is an anal safe toy, which means that it has a flared base, because as Ashley Manta, the sex educator, says, the vagina is a cul-de-sac, but the ass is a highway. So do not lose toys anywhere. Make sure it's anal safe. But you can take small toys and play around with your boyfriend's ass and explore. Have fun exploring and putting things in there and moving them around, whether it's your fingers or a toy. asking him what feels good, asking him if you have found the right spot. Communicate while you do it. Laugh while you do it. And if just that makes you a little nervous, then stop there and go do something else, have dinner, whatever. And then keep going next time and go a little bit further each time. So after introducing some sort of small toys and fingers, then you can actually take the dildo that you would be using with a strap-on and just use it with your hand. So this is just a really gradually desensitizing of the whole situation. And if other things might help, let me suggest a few things. And if it really clicks something off inside you and you go, oh yeah, and connects, well, awesome. Is dressing up really feminine and sexy and not at all like the leather-clad dominatrix-style high-heeled whip-holding dom? If the opposite of that and dressing up kind of frilly and sexy and feminine is something that might help you let go of that stereotype and the panic associated with it, then there's all kinds of stuff out there to help you do that as well. I'm going to put some other stuff in the Linkorama. I've linked to this so many times. The Spare Parts Couture Harnesses, the Bella and Sasha, which are the most beautiful feminine harnesses ever. They have attachment for garters. They're gorgeous. So that might help. Whether or not the toy is realistic looking or not, I'm not sure if that's something that might be kind of clicking things off with you, getting a different one if you already have one. I'm not sure if you guys already have equipment. That part I wasn't really clear on. So it's possible that picking out specific equipment that feels more feminine and pretty as opposed to evil and dominatrix looking, and your ideas of that might be quite different. Some people have very much of an association of hardcore with leather harnesses. And I don't really get that, but, you know, I'm into BDSM anyway, so it's not going to kick that trigger for me. But some women don't like that black leather thing. They want something pretty and girly, kind of. So if that's you, that might help. And let's see, what else? One way that would be a way to just totally turn it around. I don't know if you guys play with any power exchange in your relationship. But one way to be completely taken out of the evil dominatrix thing is to have you wearing the harness and have him tie you to the bed, and he gets to ride you. That way it's not you really doing anything to him at all. So there's an idea. And let's see if I can think of anything else here for you. Oh, I know. One of the things that you can do is just kind of to wear it around the house a little bit. I know that you said you have used strap-ons before, but somehow in the association of your current relationship, or at least this one, I don't mean to assume this is the only relationship that you have, as somehow in association with the boyfriend, it's causing a little bit of panic thing. So I don't know if you guys live together, but and this might be a kind of a funny thing to do, but you could just wear it when you're with him. Like, you know, he comes over to your house, you go over to his, whatever, you have alone time. And so you're in your underwear and you can just put the strap-on on. And being very, very clear that you don't intend on using it that night, because you're only going to do this when you're ready, and that's the important thing, is to not push past these feelings too quickly. So he needs to be 100% on board with that. And I imagine he will be. He might be a little impatient, but I imagine he will be pretty much 100% on board with anything you want to do as long as the end result is hopefully pegging. So there's that. Another thing might be, this is the last suggestion I have, would be, I'm not sure if any of this is going to work or not, but, you know, that's up to you to listen to it and decide, is if you had a toy with a suction cup and either on a smooth door which has enamel paint or a shower wall, he can fuck himself and you can be there like holding his cock. And that's a way to kind of be around, you know, him kind of fucking himself and have it be like sexy time, awesome, or give him a blowjob while he's doing that. That might be really fun. So all of those things I would suggest to give a try, but the most important thing is just do it gradually. And please do let us know how it goes. I want to hear I want to hear the end of this story. Yes, indeed, I do. And thanks for writing in with your question. All righty, moving right along. Hi, I was just randomly browsing the internet and came across your article, The Truth About Strapless Strap-Ons. I am lucky enough to have discovered the joys and thrills of anal stimulation and penetration with my girlfriend. We have used dildos, vibrators, plugs, and a harness strap-on together. I am intrigued by several comments from this short but very informative article. Obviously, the main subject was about the so-called strapless strap-on craze. I admit I have fantasized about my girlfriend being able to penetrate me with the closest thing possible to a real cock without the use of a harness. Even so, we only use the harness strap-on a couple times. This brings me to what really got my attention in your article. Unfortunately, our experience with the harness was very thrilling, but at the same time, not as thrilling as anticipated. You gave me new perspective on this when you said in the article that a woman needs to practice and learn how to fuck a guy with a cock because she isn't used to the rhythm or motion. The notion that she needed to practice developing new muscles and stamina for better motion never occurred to us. So the thrill of our first pegging experience was quite exciting, but very awkward at the same time. And although my girlfriend was perfectly willing to share this experience with me, she was very self-conscious about it. So as a result of the awkwardness, we primarily resorted to the use of dildos and vibrators. I would love to be able to give her some tips and guide her to get maximum mutual pleasure from our next pegging experience. Okay, I am going to put some links in the Linkorama for you, and I'm going to label them tips for women beginners, okay? And there's going to be a number of links under that in the Linkorama for you to peruse. I'm trying to remember, I don't think I've actually written an article addressing that exact subject because I talk about it so often, about how it's a very, very steep learning curve for women. And really, the first time, it's often very awkward. It often feels really strange. And you get better with practice, just like a man with his first sexual experience gets better with practice as well. And the first time is very awkward. So, yeah, that's absolutely a part of it. And expecting the fireworks the very first time is unrealistic. It's a learned skill. And practicing is fucking fun. So I'm going to guide you to whatever articles I can. I'm actually going to put that down as an idea for an article to write as well. So thank you for that. But yes, I think there's absolutely some room there for you and your girlfriend to readdress this and check it out again and talk about it and try it. Because handheld is lovely. Playing with vibrators and dildos and things like that is lovely. But there's just something about having a hands-free pegging experience. And what I mean about that is when it is strapped to her and she learns how to move, she can be doing whatever she wants with her hands. She can be tweaking your nipples. She can be pulling your hair. She can be playing with your cock. She can be pulling you to her. She can be grabbing your hips while she fucks you. This is why you want the harness experience. It makes for a real intimate experience where you can be getting pegged and you can be kissing. It's fucking awesome. So yes, I'm going to leave those links there for you. And thanks for writing in. And thanks for the idea about the article. Good luck to you and let us know how it goes. Okay, I'm going to rush through my ending monologue here because I am hoping I can fit this all onto one podcast. It is time to stop talking. There are links on my blog for you to follow me. Not lead, but follow me. On Twitter, @Ruby_writer. On Facebook, and my page gets a thrill every time it gets a new like. You can also subscribe to my blog there, so you get alerted every time I make a new post. And you can listen to my podcast directly from the links on my blog, and you can also find it on the evil iTunes. My podcast is available through all kinds of various podcast downloader apps, and When you check out the products I talk about in the podcast by following the links on my Linkorama, please remember that purchasing through EnticeMe not only guarantees that you will have the highest quality, body-safe, non-toxic pleasure products, you will be supporting my work here at peggingparadise.com as well. My mission of bringing the pleasures of pegging to the world, changing the world one ass at a time. But when you do purchase through EnticeMe.com, please don't forget to use that coupon code RUBY for 20% off. And you can call me at 805-500-6544 with all your questions, comments, etc. And all you women out there, please call me with even just a paragraph, a couple of sentences, one sentence, anything about why you love pegging. Or write those words down and send them to me at ruby@peggingparadise.com. Send me your stories. And that is going to be the next podcast. Podcast number 115 is going to be hearing from the ladies. So thank you all very much for downloading and listening. Thank especially to those of you who wrote in, because that is what makes this podcast happen, is when you ask questions, you have comments, you tell stories, and we have a party. You're the best. Happy pegging.